Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is May 2nd. Andy, how are we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing great. You know, for those that are
disappointed.
No, I mean, it's the first we're recording on the first here.
This is such a moving target. But now it's not when I announce it. It's when we're recording. But if
it's
I do announce
or.
It,
it's
you're
either
happy.
Or.
And we record 3 days a week. This is just like, you're diminishing the specialness of a first of the month episode.
So. I'm trying to be like the PGA Tour. I'm trying to diminish the spectacle of my own events. I'm diminishing the spectacle of a first of the month recording. I'm going to see you tomorrow. This is exciting.
Oh, yeah. I am going to see you for a few hours, not long, a day in and out. We're going to, should we say where we're going?
Influencer Central.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know. Maybe it won't be. I don't know, but it's people watching.
I'm seeing the people are arriving in Boston. They're excited.
Brookline Media Day.
I can't wait. I'm excited to go. I'm excited.
You know why I'm excited to go?
Why?
This is
you get use your new sticks.
Uh-huh. I went out there, I got them. Club Champion is a sponsor this week to this episode. We'll get to that. So I'm actually, they are quite sexy. They feel good in the hands. I just can't wait to start, you know, chopping them all over the yard tomorrow. It's going to be ugly, but it looks, I'm very excited for that. I don't get new equipment, so I'm excited.
I gotta go do my fitting. I haven't done it yet.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a minute. But it was a great Sunday morning for facts and golf facts in particular. It was a good day to use golf facts. I think this was the highlight of my day. You know, we'll get to John Rahm and Marina Alex here in a minute. I woke up, as we often do with used golf facts, it's usually a wake-up situation to a rant and of some sort, exposing some conspiracy theory or inequity. And this one had to do with Tiger Woods, of all people. You know, the greatest golfer of all time. The one that apologized to Patrick Reed in Paris for, you know, I don't know, I guess not living up to Patrick Reed's standards as Patrick Reed hit him all over the yard. Used golf facts. I wonder what it's, this is a screenshot. It's now pinned.
I was going to bring this up. That used golf facts pinned this tweet, which is.
Used golf facts needs an avatar. Just really ratchet it up. Kind of one day just switch it up and have a new avatar. This is now the pinned tweet on this account. I wonder what it's like to have the director of golf at Southern Hills give you all caps, all the course notes you need for the upcoming PGA Championship. Tagging everybody. Do all players get this treatment at PGA? For at Tiger Woods, this is just embarrassing is the term they went with. That the at PGA has posted this themselves, and it's very telling. What is it telling about? What is it telling? That they're cheating? They're in cahoots? The PGA is trying to gift wrap, you know, a one-legged Tiger Woods who's already won at the Southern Hills. I know the course is different. This is readily available information, and I think that this is what? The director of golf, Kerry Cosby?
Kerry Cosby. Great guy.
Who caddy?
Here's the thing about Kerry Cosby. Stand-up guy. As good of a guy. I'd never met him before. I was there a couple years ago. I mean, the fried egg was so much smaller. You know, I, you know, at this point, it was, you know, he did not need to go out of his way. It was a Monday. It was his day off. I went out to lunch with him. Like, he was like, can we go out to lunch? It was him, the management, all there. But Kerry Cosby is as nice of a guy as anyone. So the ironic thing I find, knowing Kerry Cosby about this tweet, as if Patrick Reed called Kerry Cosby up and asked.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would do this for him too.
You do it for, it sounds like, a lot of people. But
that's the thing that's so funny, is that the guy's a great guy and probably would do this for just about any guy in the field if they asked.
There's many preposterous, like, sort of claims and accusations from this account. This is up there. This is some unheard of circumstance and bridge that's never been crossed before.
Nobody's ever gone
with the local caddy, a
couple weeks ahead of time and played golf with the pro. Nobody's ever done that. This is the first time in golf history that this has happened.
And of course, you know, the PGA is pumping it up because it's a member who's teaching, or not teaching, you know, informing, hopefully helping a legend who's going to play their Crown Jewel Championship, which dovetails, because we did not talk about this on Friday. We just sort of neglected to really get into Tiger playing Southern Hills and then going to Tiger Jam, where he wore his usual ridiculous
He was wearing
attire.
A Brian Stewart and inspired undershirt.
Yeah, he goes with the undershirt. He's still wearing the zipper pocket shorts for all the range stuff and play stuff. But then if you Google like Tiger Jam, it's just a fun ride. All these these collars that are so big and pointed, you know, coming out to the clavicle, garish designs left and right. So he was doing that in Vegas, but I mean, he's going to play the PGA. We didn't really talk about this. You don't say can he win the PGA? But I wonder, the Masters felt more like something like getting back to competing, just getting in the arena, proving that he could do it. The power of a finish, the power of walking 72 holes. Now I wonder, like, what is, like, the next step? Like, can he be a competitive major championship golfer again is now the next question, because the comeback has already been done, and he's proved that to himself. It's now, like, takes on a different tone for me, and it seems like he's going to do PGA, U.S. Open, St. Andrews. I don't know if anything else.
I mean, here's the thing. We talked about this the week of. What was he? Was he three or five back? Three back of second place at the Masters, 36 holes in.
Right.
How can he has to believe he can win? He most definitely believes he can win.
My only question is, how long does this go on where it's painful to play and he gets a bunch of T43s? Or how long does he want to do that outside of the Masters and the Opens?
I think that if he thinks he can win, he's going to keep doing this. And he, yeah, that's what
and
he
said.
I'm not
saying he's going to do a bunch of T43s. I just wonder, like, what does he want with the rest of his golf life?
I mean, he was a couple shots away from a top 25.
Yeah.
After
a year on Sunday?
15 months after almost losing his leg.
Yeah.
I think we've been at this stage with Tiger for a long time.
Sure.
And this is just another layer to the stage of Tiger's. He could go to Southern Hills. He could miss the cut by 10. I'm not surprised. He could be right there on Sunday. I'm not surprised. Like, any outcome is not surprising anymore with him.
What's the walk like there? I know there's some...
It's not like Augusta, but it's not easy.
Are there hills, like the name suggests?
No. It's the Southern Flats, it should be called. No, there's... I mean, like, it's... Basically, the clubhouse sits on a high hill. And
yeah,
everything
that.
Kind of plays off of it, right. And back into it a lot.
Yep.
So...
Yep.
It's
not like Augusta at all.
It's not... There at points there are times where it's a little bit like Augusta, but it's not like that at all. Listen, like I think it sets up good for him. It's
he's got all the inside knowledge.
Well, yeah. No. Well, he's got Cary Cosby's notes and he did win here. But
yeah.
The course has obviously been restored since then, but short grass is good for him. It's not super narrow. It's got Bermuda rough, so it's not going to be crazy long. I think these are all the things that you look for. It's probably going to be pretty warm. all, you know, of all the majors, obviously Boston should be nice in June, but it could be kind of some cool
65
days.
65 in the morning, 60
but
in the morning.
Yeah. Tulsa in May is probably the warmest one, which is the best thing for him, as he's talked about. I mean, this is great. It's great news. I'm happy he's playing. Like, I think, you know, you look at next year, and LACC would set up probably pretty well for him, and Augusta, and where's the Open?
Oak Hill.
Well, the PGA. Oh. I don't think Oak Hill's going to be great for him in May. No, I don't.
Yep.
I don't know where we're doing that.
Yeah. But. Anyways, so he's getting accused of cheating, or I don't know, doing something that's you know, ungentlemanly and unsporting by going around with local knowledge weeks ahead of the championship. But great, great U.S. Golf Facts way to wake up. All right, let's move on to the golf that was actually played today. What do you want to do, LPGA or Mexico?
You want to talk about our fantasy golf pod?
Let's do LPGA because it just finished first. And then we'll do your gambling pod. We'll do an ad read, and then we'll do your gambling pod. We chart the show, not in advance, but real live here, and you guys can listen to it. LPGA, Marina Alex wins the Palos Verdes. What was the actual name? The JTBC Championship or something like that?
Yeah, it was the Palos Verdes Championship, I think.
That's what you're going with?
Yeah. The Palos Verdes Championship presented by Bank of America.
Okay. All right. Okay. She wins by a shot.
Is this coming back next year?
I don't think that was confirmed. Seems like LPGA sort of sets the schedule, you know, Q4, right?
Kinda. I like that. I can appreciate that. Not knowing where everything's going all the time.
Yep. Marina Alex shoots 66 on Sunday. Clips Jin-Yun Ko, Megan Kane, Lydia Ko by two shots on Kane, Lydia, and then Jin-Yun Ko, who also shot a 66, was one shot short. Marina Alex was, I don't know, pretty great. I mean, great play on Sunday. Awesome to listen to her talk. Like, you know, basically the last couple of years, I've been playing just to, like, get through a season. I didn't think I would ever. She didn't say I didn't think I would ever, but I had serious doubts of whether I could physically do this and mentally I would ever be in this position again. Content. Her honesty was really cool, refreshing to hear after the victory.
She's one of the best personalities on the LPGA Twitter. Tour. Funny lady. And really happy to see her win. I guess the glasses I heard on the telecast, they were talking about her glasses.
Yeah.
And how she was using them for her computer screen. They helped her eyes with the computer screen.
Blue, whatever, light. Yeah.
And then one day she went out and putted with them and realized that she read greens better with them.
That's like, it sounds like Jesper with the hat a little bit. Although this sounds even more, this sounds actually like with some substance as opposed to just pure superstition. Yeah. Flipping up just, the hat. What are you looking around
it
for?
Doesn't matter?
No.
Something's telling me I need to charge something, so.
You worry we're going to lose this? That you're going to shut off? Oh, okay.
I don't know. It distracted me.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's not be distracted. Let's finish this out. Marina Alex wins by a shot. Jin-Yun Ko, you know, not unsurprising to see her make a... She was kind of crappy in the middle, 72-73, but you know, bookended with a 64 and 66, got her in contention. Not enough. She was out. She finished a couple hours or an hour and a half ahead. Lydia Ko, not nearly. She hit a good shot on 18. They kind of overcooked it. I mean, she made a par, but it's like, I saw some people like, she nearly holed out to force a playoff. Yeah, I mean, she hit it to like, whatever, 8 feet or something. It was a great shot, but had an amusing quote after with Jerry Fultz, didn't know what to do. She said, you got some, they were concerned. You got some, this was right after Marina Alex was talking about her back issues. Like, I don't even know if I could play. There's too many good young players. This was amazing. Now we're talking about Lydia Ko. She had physical therapy out in the middle of a round. And Fultz is like, is that going to be a thing?
She had the physio out there just stretching her all the final round.
Is that going to be a thing? You have an issue here as we hit some major championship season. And she's like, no, it's that time of the month, Jerry. Like, and this happens sometimes. And that's not the first time the physio's come out for that kind of thing. Just, you know. Not something PGA Tour pros have to probably consider or deal with or handle. Right. Another thing, the unseen sort of maybe challenge are changes and difference that an LPGA player, we talk about motherhood and coming back from maternity leave and things like that, or pregnant, even playing while pregnant. This is another one, maybe, that we don't see very often, and that the men do not have.
Unbelievable honesty.
Unbelievable. And Foles was so flummoxed. He's like, thank you for your time. After it was over, she's like, she popped him after that. He goes, huh? You don't know what to say, Jerry, but honesty, it is. That's what I gave you. I told you.
It's amazing how, just in general with Lydia Ko, yeah. I feel like she's gone through this whole genesis where, and I think part of this is like the struggles of being a teenage superstar. Is yeah, she went from, you know, and it seemed like she was too temperamental with the caddies, you know, and everything yeah. going on. And I know there was some influence with the parents and yeah. everything. And it went, and she's gone, I feel like, in the last few years from, you know, could be in the public eye, kind of have some stuff thrown at her, to now one of the most likable people on the LPGA tour in terms of like public opinion, the stuff that you hear about the snacks and the
face of the tour. Like, yeah. Right. It's sort of a senior influence in a way, but senior in age, but by experience,
just like a joyous personality that, you know, like you just, this is another example of it where you're just like, this is somebody that you would want to spend time with because she, you know, just doesn't take life too seriously. Right.
Right. Yeah, I think you make a good point. There was like concern there, like that she might wash out like entirely, mm-hmm. right? And it was just like not a happy circumstance, whether it's with her personally or having to follow it. And it wasn't like she was a, you know, grump, but yeah, it has been a real sort of transformation, or she's come through it probably based on her own, you know, strength of character. Anything else on the LPGA event? Did you like Anna Davis made the cut, the teenager who won ANWA? She took a tumble on Sunday.
But crazy finish to make the cut. I think she made an eagle and a couple birdies.
Yeah, she went like birdie, eagle, par or something over the last, not eagle, but yeah, she had played the last three holes, I think, in 3 under. So. Mm-hmm. Andrea Lee was in the mix, kind of local. Coming back, she's like kind of on the Epsom tour now, right? And doing,
I think,
well,
she got
there,
a sponsor, but exemption, but she's, yeah, from Redondo Beach, so yeah, right down the road.
Did you like the course? You wrote about it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. It was super firm. Yep. And it's not easy. That's the thing about that place. One of my big takeaways, and this is just like a perfect example of the LPGA tour and the opportunity it has, because this is a 6,400-yard course. They'd never think about hosting a men's tournament, but this is a great tournament for great golf course for women's golf, and it's a really interesting golf course, right?
Right.
It's interesting. It has good greens. It has some well-placed bunkers, and then it's got that intense elevation change that makes for unique golf, and golf that, like, that elevation change shows on the television even. And right. It right. gets windy out there in the afternoon. That is something that I had been told when I was out there. We played in the morning. They're like, it gets really windy every afternoon out here because you're right on the coast. And you saw what I think that's one of the reasons. It's like the unique dynamics of events. One of the reasons that we saw such a bunched leaderboard was that this happened every day. Like the day before, Lydia Ko shot a good round, a little bit ahead of the leaders, and jumped up, you know? Mm-hmm. But what happened, you know, the early afternoon was way, you know, mid-morning tee time was easier to play in. And we saw today 266s come from, but it's just an interesting dynamic of this golf course, right? Where being in that last group is a little harder because it gets windier and windier in the afternoon out there. So it was a really cool course. I would love, and I know that a lot of it is hinging on sponsors and where sponsors want to go. And I think Upper Montclair, I believe, has been reworked recently. I'm not sure. I got to look into that this week. But that, like, I'd love to see them go play more interesting golf courses.
Yeah, like, and that's always been a bone to pick with the LPGA often. But it seems like they've gotten a lot better in the last, I don't know, 5 years or so.
They got do they have Shadow Creek on the board again? Yeah, they got Shadow Creek
for the that's match that week.
It's before the U.S. Women's again.
Oh God, they got to fix that. How did they not? The thing that's crazy is there's the
next week's event, and then there's 2 weeks. There's a week off.
Why isn't
the week off the week before the major?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead, you have the most physically grueling event the week before the major.
Yeah. All right. That was a good primetime watch. Enjoyable for 2 weeks in a row. Let's do an ad read now. We mentioned it. Club Champion. I went and picked them up 30 minutes before they closed on Saturday. It was terrible traffic. My wife was so mad at me because I had to go to Fairfax and the Beltway was a disaster. I was like, oh, I'm just going to do it real quick. 15 minutes took like an hour. Like, that's my only complaint. It's like I went to the Fairfax store. I will say there is a Rockville.
Your complaint is traffic and your.
No, it took like an hour because I had to go get them. But that I'm so happy. It was worth it. I'm going to have them for our little outing tomorrow. But there is a store that's closer to me. And this is I just was able to book at Fairfax sooner. This is not canned. I got it randomly this morning from a Ryan Rogers. He DM'd us. He goes, glad y'all, which, you know, I think he's from Maryland. I think Maryland's too far north to say y'all. Don't you? Like, people have started incorporating that.
I lived in Texas for a little part of my life.
Yeah.
And I really wish I could use y'all. It doesn't feel natural. But now, ever since I lived there, and people explain to me, like, why would you say you guys? Or, you know.
Yep.
Ever since that moment, I'm like, yeah, I wish I could say y'all, but it just, I can't do it. Sometimes I'll just sheepishly do it. And the people that I'm with will look at me like I'm an idiot.
Right. I don't think I've heard, I don't have the authority
have to have so much confidence as a northerner to pull out the y'all.
Right.
Maybe Ryan Rogers moved from Texas.
Maybe he's from some. Yeah. So anyways, he texts me this I don't know him. He messaged me. Glad y'all are repping Club Champion now. I go to my guy, Matt, in Rockville, which is real close to me. And he's fit.
Has it got one T or two T's?
Two T's. Matt in Rockville. And he's fit 11 of 14 clubs in my bag. Not cheap, yet great. Exclamation point. It isn't cheap. It's not, you know, it's not going to make you broke, but it's a worthy service. I was talking to James when I picked up mine. He goes, we're booked. I think people understand, like, this is a thing, like, you spend a little extra on. Like, why you're investing in buying clubs that are going to be expensive anyway. Invest in this. They will get you fit and make sure you're spending money in the right way. It's a little extra for the right reasons.
Legitimately. About that.
What?
I never feel any like, I never want to even, I don't even look at other people's clubs. I don't, you know, or any of this, like my last irons, I'm using some like retro irons right now, but my last set of irons.
Hipster iron boy over there. Hey, kind of.
They're pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie. They're hard to hit if you're not swinging well, but anyways, my last set of irons, the only reason that I'm using these irons was like the epoxy wore out.
Okay.
So the head started to fall off. This is like 10 years later after heavy use.
Like Hudson Swafford on 13th at Augusta National.
So like my 6 and 7 iron heads fell off, and that's what prompted me to go to this retro set. Was I was like, well, like I can't. I went to a half set after the 7 iron, and then I lost the 6 and the 7. I was like, I can't go 5 to 8. That's just it's too far. It's a bridge too far.
Yeah,
and
I gotta go in.
I'm gonna schedule it. I've been a little busy.
There are 100+ locations internationally. While we're on the subject. Industry leading technology. They set you up in the TrackMan, the Sam Putt Lab. If you want it, just a putter, I would start with something. Just don't go do the whole bag. Like, I mean, you can. I'm not telling you to not spend money, but like, figure something out that you want to target. Try it out. You can use the code FRIEDEGG through the rest of this year, and you get 20% off the fitting cost with the purchase of a club. And let me tell you, you're going to purchase a club when you go in there. You're not going to go in there and just flail around. You're going to want something. Just, I am so very happy. I'm pumped that I'm going to be putting these new bats in play tomorrow. So use the code Fried Egg through the rest of the year. You get 20% off your fitting cost.
You think you're going to shoot a low number tomorrow?
No. No, but I'm going to have fun. I'm not making any predictions. I think it's my first round of the year. Full round.
Who are you hoping we get paired with?
I mean, it's an influencer roulette, right? I mean, I don't know what kind of, I don't know. Local, Dan Shaughnessy, some Boston, crusty old Boston columnist. We can talk to him about the Celtics. I don't know who's going to be there. Who do you want to be paired with?
Last year, it was delightful. I played with Thomas Pagel, the rules guy.
Oh. Was he eyeing you like a hawk, making sure you were...
Well, we were at Torrey, so he had to hear me kind of rant all day long. I felt bad for him. I told him on the first hole, I said, hey, I just want to put this out. I don't like this golf course, and you're going to hear about it.
You're telling this to the head USGA rules guy?
Well, and then...
At the side of their championship?
We were talking equipment all day.
Oh, and, you're getting in his ear about how they have to dial it back to the gutta percha and everything else. All right.
I was making some cases, you know. I was presenting... I was using it as my opportunity to present some anecdotal research.
Who do you want to get paired with? You don't care. Pagel again?
I don't know. There's a lot of fine folks at the USGA. There'll be a lot of fine media folks out there. The U.S. Women's, me and Will got paired with Big Randy and Tron. That was a lot of fun.
That's a delightful day. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, that was really nice.
All right. Anyways, that was the longest ad read ever. Club champion. Thanks to them for their support. We got into y'all and equipment and everything else. All right, moving on. John Rahm wins the Mexico Open. It was not a strong field. I wouldn't say he played great. He played well enough.
He played pretty bad on the weekend. It was not good.
Yeah, did not putt well, kind of sprayed it a little bit. He found some bad spots, certainly down the stretch. Shot a 69 after a 64-66 first 36 holes. And wins by a shot over Brandon Wu, who there were 63s out there. Brandon Wu and Finau both shot 63, which I believe was a course record, falling at the venerable and historic Vedanta, whatever it is, Norman course. Got close. So three guys were a shot off the lead. Kurt Kitayama as well. I think I read, actually in the Fried Egg newsletter, which I edited tonight, and will be in your inboxes fresh in the morning, is the weakest strength of field of a PGA Tour event this year.
Not opposite field? Even?
I'm sure.
We haven't hit opposite field season, have we?
We had a few.
Even weaker than the one opposite Bay Hill?
No, I'm sure it means non-opposite field. Just like a full...
Yeah,
like,
it was a shitty field, which is why our gambling podcast, wisely, said pick John Rahm. He's so much better than everybody. And this is what... I'm just going to say that, like...
We should start a hotline, like a big gambling hotline. People call and you pick up your phone.
Like a voicemail box?
Yeah, and reply. Here's my tips.
Let me, John Rahm, this is what really good, in any sport, this is what great athletes do, great players. They win without their best stuff. They win ugly. John Rahm was really bad this weekend on the greens. He drove it sensationally all week, but like he was not he wasn't crisp with his wedges. Like his approach play wasn't great. His driving was sensational, but everything else was kind of pretty mediocre. And he won because that's what really big time players do. And that's the difference between John Rahm and a Tony Finau and a Xander Schauffele.
I was going to
beat up on.
What's the least impressive and most impressive in this run of April? Outside of Scheffler, obviously. But we've got now Spieth, who kind of ham and egged it, scratched it around. Rahm, similarly. And then Xander. I just want to make sure we're holding ourselves to account with shifting standards. Because we did pop Xander for praising Spieth and Rahm for kind of getting it done. Go ahead.
I
popped him for the partner. Partnership events too.
Like, I didn't just, pop just, him.
That's a different kind of thing. Okay, go ahead.
But hey, they caught Rahm. Rahm gets caught on the back nine on Sunday. makes a big putt on 14. It was a par five. He had a pretty shitty chip. Makes a big putt to take back the lead.
Yep.
Hits great tee shots on 15 and 16 that pretty much ensured that he was going to make pars there. And then he hits that great approach on 17. He doesn't make birdie, but he hits a great approach. That was the one spot there that you're like, okay, he's got to hit a good shot here. Hits the shot. And then on 18, he hits it in trouble off the tee. But that that third shot he hit was really good.
To the back of the green.
You see how firm it was? It was downwind.
I was going to say that.
He hit it really high. Like, that was a really good shot to get it there from where he was.
Yep.
He did what he needed to do to win. He made the three footers. He didn't give anything away. And he wins. And it's an impressive win in the sense of, hey, this guy went out. He was expected to win. The pressure's like, he's the best player by a mile there. He goes out and he wins, even though he didn't play well. And I'm not saying this should not make Jon Rahm the favorite at the PGA, because he's not, things aren't, he's doing what he's done all year. Yeah. This is a T15 in a good field, or a T10 in a good field. It's not a win.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what he's been doing. It's a little alarming, the putter. It seems like he's like mishitting putts, which is very alarming. I always joke with people, you know, when
what do you mean by that?
Like, his speed distance, control is just really bad. It seems like he's struggling to hit the ball solid with the putter. And I always say to people, like, as long as you hit the putt solid, you can't be mad. You know, it's not everybody takes it for granted, but it's not like easy to hit it solid all the time. Seems like he's hitting his driver more solid than his putter.
Yeah. I would say this had, I mean, by the way, Aaron Wise, T6.
Another, yeah.
Right. Hey, gambling podcast.
I was looking at him.
A winner in a top five. Top 10. So I had Cameron Champ in another one that I actually pay for, but kind of.
I can't believe you do that. You do two picks. That's crazy. I just do the same one. I don't understand.
Well,
If I'm in fantasy football leagues, I try and get the same players on both teams.
Up. Yeah.
So then I just like less decisions to make.
Yeah, I got you. This had a real Korn Ferry Tour event feel to it.
Oh, yeah.
Just with minimal crowds and just like it just on TV, there was no juice. I'm sorry. The entire stretch between the Masters and PGA should be the Catalan zone. Andrew Catalan. Faldo wasn't there, I don't think. Nance, I was surprised, made the trip, but you know, he took last week off. It's just, and now we're coming down the street from me, Wells Fargo, and they have, you know, they're one of their better fields for sure. So it's just a tough sled in between.
It's not a good time. Not a good time for golf. It's part of the season. I think you could make the case that this should be the start of the season. The Masters should be the last event of the season, you know, and that this should be the start of the new season.
The new FedEx Cup race or the new season?
I don't know. It would be amazing, but, you know, it never would go with the playoffs.
No.
You look at, like, some guys that, like, made some hay and are going
to... I was about to do that. Like, Smalley, Trainer. I know
Smalley's
well.
Nice. Smalley's a nice young player.
But I'm telling you, it's like that KFT feel, a mix of like up and comer young guys and like guys who just have on the 125.
Kurt Kitayama, the rich man's big bell. He's got a Chez Reavie look going.
He was pretty frustrating to watch in that final group.
Yeah, but he's like not fun to watch golf.
Yeah, yeah.
He just like, he's got that ugly swing.
Yeah, yeah, it's not pretty.
He hits it far though. It's just not pretty. It's like you're kind of like, is this guy a marvel of modern technology, or is it just me? You know, like that's kind of what I think about every time I see Kurt Kitayama in a field. It's like, ugh, the guy shouldn't. But, you know, a couple notes. I think, you know, Davis Riley has showed me quite a bit in the last few weeks. He was really well. You did really well on the Korn Ferry Tour. He had a standout amateur career, but he's going to win soon this year. And if not, I would expect like a Sam Burns type breakout next year from him. He's really good. I think he's going to be a big time player. How about new Chicago zone?
Woo?
Ascending? Or, no. Lipsky.
Lipsky. Yeah. Yeah. Which one went to Northwestern and which one went to Stanford? Which Wu?
Brandon Wu went to Stanford.
Dylan
Wu went to Northwestern. Right. David Lipsky went to Northwestern. Ironically, another David from Northwestern, I think it's Nightfall, won the Big Tens. He's the first Northwestern player to win the Big Ten individual title since David Lipsky. It was fact I picked up.
Not Fitzy, never made it to Big Ten.
Hey, shout out, while we're here, shout out to my Illini. 7 Big Ten titles in a row. Got Michigan State by a shot today.
That's pretty good. Big Ten is it's a legit conference. A lot of big schools, a lot of big budgets, a lot of big programs.
Not the best golf conference.
I'm not saying it's the best golf conference, but it's a big athletics conference. So win 7 in a row is a feat for sure. Okay, anything else from Mexico?
Yeah, I got to give the tour setup some props.
Okay.
They used 3 different tee boxes on the 17th hole this week.
I saw that.
And on Saturday, they were talking about how guys were going up to the tee perplexed.
Making them think?
Well, they didn't expect the tee to be there. Even though there were like markers, and I think it might have been Immelman, Trevor on the telecast that was making the point, and he said like, well, if guys paid a little bit more attention during the practice rounds, they would know that this was a tee. And I love that. Use 3 different tees on a par 3. It was like way different, and the way they did it in the final round was really neat. And the Saturday round, actually, because Saturday was front right and they used kind of a left or a tee box to the left. So you had to go all the way over the water. And it was like kind of it made the angle really interesting. Today, they moved the tee way right and the pin back left, which brought that water in on a diagonal. Like it just like made the water really relevant on both those days. Big props. I would love to see this every week. You've got all these tee boxes. Use them.
Yeah. I'm curious what they do this week. Got a lot of rain today. So, I mean, and it's DPC network again. But I don't know. Could be interesting. But that I agree. Setup is something that they can really... The problem is, you know, it's member-run deal. They get a little bitching about it and a little, you know, disenchantment. Among some guy, you know, Nate Lashley or somebody. I'm not saying he said anything, but these guys who aren't bringing a ton of value to the product in terms of, you know, money and the marketability still can bitch and moan and kind of influence stuff going forward. So, but yeah, good job to give credit where credit is due. Anything else from Mexico you want to hit on before we get out of here? Move on. It will be forgotten around one, but I won't remember much about this come December, which is why
this will be a nice year in review week. I guess the Phil video and Tiger and used golf facts will carry the conversation for a little while.
Elsewhere in golf, on the European tour, Audrey Arnaus, I guess he and Rahm are super tight, like grew up together. So they, you know, double Spaniard on the DP World Tour with the Catalunya Championship. It took 6 whole playoff, never ending pillow fight of a playoff, par. He beats a South African, Oliver Becker, to win on the Euro Tour. So
he's up to 52nd in the world rankings. It's not insignificant.
Good player.
I think it was his first win too.
It was his first win on the DP World Tour. So congrats to Audrey Arnaus.
One thing on Rob.
Yeah.
Just before we go somewhere. He's won 14 times worldwide.
Well, yeah. I thought it was interesting on the green after, like, congrats on your 7th win. I was like, that can't be right. And then I had to think.
Well, know, he's what the PGA thing that's tour. Bullshit is, like, he's won some, like, Rolex events that are legit.
Yeah. Yeah. Irish Open at La Hinch, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like a DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, you know, like real stuff. He's won 2 tour championships for the European tour. Yep. So
yep.
I just did what I make fun of so much when you change the name, because they've changed all the names to the DP World Tour Championship. Was that always called the DP World Tour Championship?
I don't know.
Or was it the European Tour Championship?
I think it was the DP Championship was what it was called.
Well, they've renamed it on OWGR now. Okay. And it's like, that would be like me saying that Tiger won 9 times at TPC Southwind or 8 times at TPC Southwind.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's it on the European Tour. On the Corn Ferry Tour, Harrison Endicott. Great name. Harrison Endicott.
Harry Endicott.
Cruises. Australian, I want to say.
I feel like Harry isn't used enough.
Did I do that? Is that New Zealand's flag or Australian's flag? I can get them. Australia. God, the people are going to be mad about that. Harrison Endicott, he won by like 5 in Huntsville. Up at the Ledges. Favorite. We're big in Huntsville territory. We love the Huntsville Championship. Harrison Endicott wins by 5. Shot like 63, 67, 64, and didn't need much to do on Sunday to bring it home.
The Burley boy, Quad Cummings.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I got a bone to pick with the OU golf team.
Oh, no. Come on. That's not why.
They won the Big 12s, and there's a picture of the whole team. There's not enough Burl in there.
Oh, bone to pick. Not enough Burl?
Would that be the right expression?
I doubt it. No, I don't think so. But they need to be burlier, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they got like one burly boy.
Well, who is it? McAllister?
No, it's Goddard.
Oh, Goddard. Yeah, of course.
McAllister's well, maybe we could thin.
Get the coach. Tell him that the tailoring can be, you know, try to make it a little different.
We might need to send them one of those meat subscription things. Just send them some
meat box or whatever.
Meat box and say, eat up. You know, this is unacceptable.
Well, they lost Quad. So
there's not enough heft.
How about them getting the regional? Because Old Colony of missing a D. Old is like not suitable for play. Now the Burley boys get a home game for regional. I assume they'll be there.
They need to send Nick Saban out there. Tell him to get on that
Tuscaloosa.
Golf course.
Yeah. Ol. How many cut courses with apostrophes in them out there? Old Colony in Tuscaloosa. Anyways. All right. Elsewhere, and last but not least, on the Champions Tour, whatever it's called, the Insperity Invitational, the Woodlands, Texas, Stephen Alker just at clean and clock. Social Security's never been better. Alker with whatever, 800 grand in earnings in 20 years on the tour, it's made like 3 million in the last like 9 months on the Champions
Tour. I don't think I needed to do my rant again, but
nope.
This is...
He beat Brant Jobe by 4.
What are we doing? What is going on? Why is this? Why does this tour exist? End it. Cancel the Champions Tour.
Cancel culture. It's coming for the seniors. Okay. Would you keep the majors like a U.S. Senior Open like that?
Yeah,
kind of
sure.
Stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think keep that stuff, and then all this other stuff in between. It's
got to go. Right. Or make it like 6 events a year. Yeah. Maybe the 5 majors and one other one.
Maybe the Saudis could create a compelling interest, compelling champions senior tour slate. News? I got really very little. We missed this last week. I love my Australians. I just want to shout out the Australian Open in December will be the first joint men's and women's national championships. It'll be concurrent at Victoria and Kingston Heath, December 1 through 4.
We should go down for that.
Men. You think we could do that? Tell the wives the week after Thanksgiving, we're out, we're going to Australia. Field sizes are 144 men and women, first time Australian Open. Good deal, good stuff. I assume, hope that will be on Golf Channel on TV here in the States, I think. That's usually what it follows the Australia. And it's also a DP World Tour event. So maybe they get a few more sort of notable Euro Tour players over there. I assume it's opposite the Hero. So they might not get those guys, like the top Americans that play in Tiger's little free world rankings party. So that's news. I don't have anything else on this Sunday night, the first of the month. You have anything else? You good, Andy?
I'm good.
I'll see you in the morning.
What are you setting your over under at?
For what? Are we talking about my golf game again?
Yeah, tomorrow.
No, we're not going to do that. 80, 86. 87. I don't know. Something like that. I don't know. I haven't played. We'll see. I'm excited about the new sticks. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Everyone, enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back Wednesday to talk about another schedule of the week.